0818 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. Pat Lamb, good afternoon, Pat.
Good afternoon, Joe.
And where's the van, Pat Lamb? Where's your van at the minute?
I have it parked in my yard here at the moment.
Okay, okay, because you know we've had a call about it, and the caller said that it stereotypes women. And will you explain the image that's on your van? I haven't seen it.
Well, I have a young lady on it. She's hanging out clothes.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lovely sunny day. The sun is shining lovely. She has a clothesline that she's hanging clothes on.
Okay.
She has a light top on her and a pair of swimming shorts, I suppose is what you call them.
Briefs,
of swimming briefs, and a nice smile on her, a good-looking young lady, as most of them are for advertisement and that.
Yeah.
And that's basically it.
And is she wearing footwear?
No.
Okay. But she's hanging up her clothesline. Okay, the complaint. Now, we discovered when we rang you, and fair play, you told us this yourself, the person who complained to us that the ad was sexist and reinforced harmful gender stereotypes to anyone who might see it. Obviously, it's on the road, including children. But you've been checked on this before.
Because
what happened? This was from the Advertising Standards Authority of Ireland.
Yeah, but they weren't happy about it either, or that. But as I explained to them, the young lady was on it. By the way, I'm no way sexist or that, or racist or anything.
Yeah.
I was actually looking as well to try and get a young gentleman to put on the other door of the van on the other side.
And what
I
would
couldn't
he
get a young man hanging clothes out. I couldn't get one of them. So,
could you not hire a model or something, or ask someone?
That's the route I might go down. I might.
And what, you'd
that,
have him in a pair of budgie smugglers or speedos or whatever?
Well, whatever the summer gear would suit.
Okay.
So
anyway,
tell
us. We go back to the advertising. What did the Advertising Standards Authority? What did they say to you about your website?
They said that they weren't basically happy about it, and that it was sexist and that. And I explained to them that it wasn't that. 99% of all the calls I'd get on my phone would be regarding ladies anyway. I'm not saying men don't hang out clothes on a two in the line. They do, a lot of them, but you know yourself, probably 80-90% of it is the ladies that put out.
But they hang out clothes in their bikinis and high heels?
Well, I'm sure if the weather was good. I'd say there was a lot of them doing it last week. We had a good weather last week. There was a lot of ladies, I'm sure, in this country, the same as gents, going about in beachy areas and parks had probably maybe less than what that young lady had on her. She's fully covered. She's not in any rude position or anything like that.
She's
fully
clothed.
She's smiling. She's just
fully
hanging clothes out in the lane.
She's fully clothed?
Well, she is. She has all her essentials covered. She's
fully. So you said to us she's fully clothed bar the bikini.
Yeah, she's not nude, like.
But she's fully naked bar the bikini.
Right. You could say it's a half a dozen or six. Whichever. Your dad is full or it's half.
So when the Advertising Standards Authority of Ireland upheld the complaint against you, what did you have to do? You didn't have to do anything with the van, did you?
Well, they weren't happy. They asked me if I'd take the advertisement down off the van.
Yeah.
But I wasn't totally happy about doing that because I didn't see what law I was breaking. It's a bit of a crack and a bit of a laugh. What I mean? As I said, I'm not sexist or anything like that in any way.
But who came up with the idea? I know you make your own clotheslines, and we'll talk about that later on. But who came up with the line of using a woman in a bikini, a young woman in a bikini, to advertise your clotheslines?
I was looking through, scrolling through different websites, just looking for some picture to put up with regarding clotheslines, hanging out washing on clotheslines, and I just happened to come across this lady on it.
And is that the lady that's now on the back of your van?
Yeah.
And did you have to pay her?
No, there was a Chinese website I got it on. A lot of Chinese websites, there's no patent or anything on a lot of those sites.
But that's not, insofar as I know, but I've now been handed, I don't know whether we can, with your permission, send out a photograph of your van. You probably, we'd scratch out your number and that. But she's not Chinese.
I don't think so.
Yeah, okay.
But then again, we allow people to live in this
country.
Okay,
so what reaction? What
she doesn't have to be Chinese.
Yeah, of course. But what reaction have you got to the? It's a full. It's the back of your van, basically.
I got a great response. In fairness, there was one or two people that weren't just overly happy about it, but 90% or more, actually, of all my customers, we have a good laugh and a crack on it and that, you know. And, love your van, they'd say, or something like that. Or when they'd be ringing and inquiring about one of our clotheslines, that's one thing some of them would mention up to. I like your van.
So you went onto this Chinese website, and you found this image of a woman in a bikini and high heels hanging clothes on a line.
Yeah.
And was there any caption to the image or any context?
No, just I googled looking for something related to clotheslines or hanging out lines and that, they came in, they lowered them up, and that was the best looking one I seen on it. Like, just, I thought, what using?
Yeah, well, are we tweeting this photograph or not? Are you giving us permission to tweet it? Well, it is in the public domain, isn't it? You're out there on the roads.
Yeah.
And you're in Monaghan, but do you say, are you the only one selling this type of clothesline?
Well, I'm in Carrickmacross County, Monaghan. Yeah, I'm the only type that does those as far as I know, yeah. Yeah, we do mobiles with the arms, the added arms out on the end. I'm the only one that does those, that makes those with the arms on the end.
Explain that to me, Pat.
It's a mobile lines now. The lines themselves, they're made out of 1.5-inch box iron. That's the 2 mil, the 2.5 mil wall. That's fairly heavy stuff now. You don't have to worry about bending or twisting or that. The top section of the lines have 9 strands of wire.
Yeah.
The middle section has 6 strands of wire, and then each end at the very top, we have 2 added arms out each end at the top. There's 2 strands of wire then each side running across the line, the opposite direction of each end.
And who designed this?
I designed it. It's ideal for hanging longer battles or bat sheets on.
And have you got it patented?
I haven't, no.
God, you should.
Yeah.
And it's mobile.
It's mobile, yeah. There's 4 wheels on it, naturally. They're a good quality 4-inch rubber base.
Would it not blow over?
No, the lines, the wheels themselves, they're a good quality 4-inch rubber base caster wheels. They're easy to manoeuvre on tarmac, concrete, or on a fine lawn. There's 2 brakes at the side of each corner. The base of the lines are good and wide. There's good stability on them. You don't have to worry about them blowing over, definitely not.
I think that's the reason why you put that photograph on the van, Pat, so someone would see it and ring Liveline, and you're a brilliant salesman.
Oh, I don't know about that. Well, we do double lines as well. We do the double lines that you can put down into the ground and concrete. They are made out of 2-inch heavy gauge box iron. That'll be the 3 mil, the 3.5 mil wall. They are 10 foot tall. That allows for putting them down 2 foot on the ground, which naturally leaves 8 foot over. As regards distance, we'd say now from one pole to the other, we'd normally recommend to put them about 25 foot apart. And we've also introduced a tarred line, which is it's basically just another rope that comes down about 2 foot from the top of each pole. It's knotted on one side, and it just hooks on the other. It's ideal for kids, though.
Yeah, but I'm saying to you, you're a great salesman. You say, no, I'm not. And you're after doing a 2-minute sale on another product you have.
Yeah.
You're some salesman.
Well, I suppose I get it all from a very intelligent son, Barry, used to give me a hand with a lot of the lines, but he has his own company now, Crystal Clear Water Filtration. He does a lot of
that's him, is it?
He's great, yeah, that's Barry. And
that's a big company, is it?
Oh, it's a great company. He's out flat with them at the moment, and he's the cheapest in Ireland.
I know. I don't want to turn into a sponsor program for the Lamb family, but
no.
But did you when the Advertising Standards Authority contacted you, did you have to go in front of them?
I didn't. No, it was around the COVID times.
So what did you have to do? What was your response?
No, it was just emails they sent out. I just sent them an email back that I didn't think it was bad or anything like that, and. That's basically it, that I thought it was all right. I couldn't see anything wrong with it. But, as I said, the lady wasn't naked. referred on the email that young people going about maybe looking at that. Well, there was plenty of young people about the last 2 weeks, I'd say, when the weather was good and there was a lot of ladies.
Okay, and it's nothing you wouldn't see in Irish newspapers every day of the week.
Yeah,
and you'd see more. But your line is, she's fully clothed bar the bikini, and I'm saying she's fully naked bar the bikini.
Yeah. Well, her essential parts are covered, put it that way. That's probably about the way of putting it.
Well, her head isn't covered. That's a pretty essential part of any human. Her arm,
well,
her hands.
I mean, as regards dignity and that and common decency, all our private parts are covered, you know.
Thank God.
Yeah.
And the public highway.
Oh, without a doubt, Joe. You couldn't have it any other way.
Okay, where's Patricia? Patricia.
How are you doing, Joe?
Now,
how
Patricia,
are you?
Now you're not an extended member of the Lamb family, are you? The Lambs with the van?
No, I'm not. I've often seen vans with double meanings, and it's a bit of a laugh. But there's an ad on the television, and this guy goes into the laundry. And he strips off and he has his underpants on, and the girls are all looking and laughing.
Yeah.
You know, I've often gone out to the line in me towel or something like that, and just, Jesus, out of quickness, anything, and hung the clothes in the line.
But have you gone out in a pair of high heels?
No, I don't possess a pair of me Crocs, but I go out in me knickers and me whatever, you know?
Now, remember, are you surprised, Patricia, that the Advertising Standards Authority told Pat to take, they've no control over his van, but they said to him, take the image down off your website, and he did. Because the Complaints Committee of the Advertising Standards Authority of Ireland noted that the company vehicles were not per se in remit of the code, but where content was marketing communication material, any image used. So the image on the company's website, they say broke the code. That was their judgment.
We're getting very serious. I mean, there's often vans on the road that have double meanings on them, and you kind of laugh and go, yeah, you know, it's a laugh. If you're going to take this thing so serious and so
well,
I'll
read out another line from the advertising. In the context depicted, the committee considered, this is the bikini lad clad woman hanging out. Now, remember, Pat is saying she's fully clothed, bar the bikini, but the committee are saying...
Joe, she's not high heels on her. You said she'd high heels.
Okay, just the way she's standing. Okay, it's a grainy picture.
It's her own garden. Let her do what she does.
Exactly. Okay, well,
I'm only...
This is what the advertising authority said. In the context depicted, the committee considered, Patricia, that the depiction of a partially dressed woman in the advertisement, hanging out clothes, was sexist and in breach of section 3.17, 3.18 and 3.20 of the code. What do you think of that, Patricia?
Look, it's just too serious for my liking. You know, wouldn't it be lovely to go along and see a woman in the van? I mean, it's a dull day today and we're all kind of...
Now, the only item of clothing I can see this woman from the Chinese website hanging on the clothesline is bras.
Yeah, but you can't see the whole vision of the line. That's only part of it. I'm sure her line is a lot longer than that. That's only the corner of the line you see.
So
you know?
What? There's a candlewick bedspread on the other side and a bolster pillow.
Yeah, and I'd say probably
a
matching bottom for a
pair of Snickers trousers or whatever, yeah.
Oh, yeah, and a pair of denim bottoms to match your shorts. I'd say there on it too.
Say again, Patricia?
What's the ad for, Joe?
Have you not been listening? He's out there giving a 15-minute ad for his company. He makes his own mobile clotheslines.
Oh, sorry,
your question was rhetorical. Yeah, sorry, sorry.
Yeah. It's an ad for clothes. You know, you've often seen an ad for something else that's kind of double meaning on the side of a van, and you read it and good luck, goodbye. I mean, if you're going to start reading into things like that, I mean, I'd be looking at the clothesline saying, is that handy, you know? And I wouldn't be kind of looking at herself, you know, for God's sake, if you're in an apartment and you look out the window and he's hanging, or she is, on her clothesline. You know, like, Like, this is, it's too bloody serious, isn't it, really?
Okay, and Pat, did you crop the line? Did you cross the line, so to speak? Did you cut out? You said on the other part of the line there is a Candlewick bedspread or whatever, but we can't see it.
Oh, sure there is, yeah.
But we can't
see it. I haven't room, see, there's not room on the back of the van for it.
That's right, Todd, yeah.
I wanted to keep the other side, Joe, to put a gentleman on it because, as I said, I'm not sexist or anything like that.
You're making this poor geezer out there that's advertising for his clothing line to be a pervert type of thing, you know? They're making him feel bad, for God's sake.
Feel bad? He just had 15 minutes of the most expensive advertising you can buy in RTE, 2:15.
But there you go now. Tell him Russell Wilson is ill.
And I guarantee, Pat, have you a second van?
I haven't, no.
Well,
no.
By the end of the day, you'd be looking for a second van.
Look,
and where do you manufacture these clotheslines?
In Carrickmacross.
And how many people do you have working for you?
There'll be two or three of us here by times.
Fair play.
I'm
trying to help him here, Patricia. I'm trying to help him.
Good lad, good lad.
And Patricia, how many would you sell every year?
Oh, I can't tell you that, Joe. That's privacy. I can't tell you that. I'd have to shoot you.
You're from Monaghan, all right.
I mean, they're not selling the woman. They're not selling the woman with
I'm
the clothesline.
I'm not selling it up at the
moment. Pat, has anyone ever said to you, oh, actually, I thought that was that was the photograph of the person erecting the clothesline for me?
No, different guys have asked me, will she be out there to have a look to see how things are going? Did it suit or that? You know.
And have you ever put up a clothesline, say, in a presbytery?
A what?
A presbytery where there's a priest or a bishop.
Oh, I did, yeah. Oh, Savills. I got some very good comments from there, yeah.
And what did they say?
Oh, I can't really say too much on that now, but they didn't give out. I got no telling off. I met a very humorous priest one time, and he had a very good laugh on it.
Okay. So the Advertising Standards Authority were wrong in their in their judgment. You say that, Patricia, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, the man is, he's innovative, he's making a thing, he's whatever. I wouldn't say it's only, it could be a fella doing it, it could be a child, you know. I mean,
so if
I
we
think
get,
they're making
if
a
we,
mouth, not you, in general.
I know.
I think they're making a mouth to be.
Well, I didn't complain to the Advertising Standards Authority of Ireland.
No, you didn't.
And I didn't uphold a complaint, but they did.
You see, When that complaint came from the Advertising Authority first time, it was around COVID times. At that time, our country here was like the world were in annoyance and pain with what was going on, and even still things aren't great. And to think that they have more, they can spend their time just whinging and crying over, and that this 90% of people I'd say can take it humorous and have a good laugh on it. It'll just go to the priority that a lot of state
we have an offer from a young fella who said he's willing to pose in his speedos.
Yeah.
Right, as long as he's well covered now on that, I'd have to make sure now that it's safe.
Well,
as
you say yourself, Pat, he's fully clothed. Bar the speedos.
Yeah, well, that
would be fully. He'd be fully naked as well, bar the speedos.
Listen, does girls go out at night with less than them? My father used to say.
Yeah, but women are entitled to wear what they want to wear. But
Joe, my wife's after saying to me here, get him quick.
Okay. So we're not washing our dirty laundry in public anymore. No, we leave it at that.
Yeah,
okay, right. Pat, come back to us when you're a multi-millionaire, which I reckon would be by this time tomorrow.
Oh God, I hope you're right.
What's the name of your company? Am I fair? Like, I'm
it's
not
just
being...
the clothesline company. You'll get it on me. Get it on my website. Just
and if I order a clothesline today, what's the delivery time?
Well, it depends a lot. See, we're getting hard enough to get steel now with the scarcity steel in the country and that, and the galvanising lads is on top of their heads now too with stuff. So things aren't running just as smooth as they used to be. But in a lot of cases, you'll be talking about 2 to 2.5 weeks, something like that.
Oh, that's not bad. And how much are they?
Our mobile clotheslines collected here is €315, or delivered is €350.
Delivered to anywhere in Ireland?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Joe, they use women to advertise cars all over the world.
Yeah, that's true, actually.
I mean,
yeah.
You know, I'll advertise this line from no problem.
Our doubles is 270 collected, Joe, or 300 delivered anywhere in the country.
Okay, they're your doubles.
And I didn't get finished. Our winding system on our clotheslines are handmade. They're not like the ratchet type that can seize up every couple of months. They're handmade. Everything's hot-dipped, galvanised on them, so there's nothing can deteriorate, rust or fail. They're pretty bulletproof.
And Pat, how long have you been selling these clotheslines?
I made one for myself when I got married in 1985 because I was looking about and all the type I could get at the time was a type of a ratchet thing or just a pole with a wee hook on it, and I just says to myself there has to be a better way than this, so I started experimenting with a couple. I made one for myself and for a few of my friends, and I just started making them from that.
And did you ever think of going on, remember Gay, well Ryan still does it, doesn't he? Don't you still, do you ever think of going on the late, you know, the new inventions?
Yeah.
Pat. No, not really, no.
Have you ever invented anything else?
No.
And how come this is such a good idea?
Because how come that they're only coming up with this now?
Yeah, how come you're... well, maybe you are.
There's been different types of it through the years for that, you know, but...
fair play to you, Mister.
And why hasn't it? But I'm just wondering. After you're 85, so you're going for say you're started in 1985, so you're going for 37 years. So why haven't you got 100 people? Like it's a brilliant idea.
Yeah.
And why is it only coming up now being objected to?
That's true. I suppose the van is. When did you put the
image?
Well,
the ad had only been on the van, I suppose, about 7 or 8 years.
Okay.
Oh,
so they took their time. Yeah. Did you ever consider doing Dragon's Den?
No, they take all the money you have. They won't have enough, yeah. No, couldn't go near them at all. You'd want to be very stuck to go near them now, to tell you the truth. In all fairness, I watched it now and again, and I do see cases with lads that advertise with things they wanted, and all they're looking for, we say, was 30 or 40,000. So if you can't get that financed without going to Dragon's Den, it mustn't be much of an item. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Because you can't get 30 or 40,000 somewhere. Your local credit union or bank, that you have to go on the telly in front of the like of that and give most of your business away. Doesn't make sense to me.
Okay,
is he using the same woman all those years on the van? The picture?
She hasn't put on a day. Martina.
Hi, Tom.
You're listening to Pat and Patricia. Two Pats.
How's it going? I just think it's absolutely ridiculous that you have this guy on the airwaves for the last, 15 minutes now, giving him free advertising, and the whole point of the segment was that he's exploiting this woman's image for his business, you know, driving around with this on the side of his van.
And what do you think of the use of the image in that way?
Well, I think it is forcing gender stereotypes, you know. Somebody in a bikini with high heels on, hanging out bras and knickers.
She has no high heels. She has no high heels. She has no high heels on her.
Don't tell me that Blackman has never run out to the line or run out somewhere with it.
That's not the point. That's not the point. You know, of course everybody has done that. But to have it on the side of your van advertising your product with that image is just, it's just ridiculous.
And what about guys that are on the side? You know, they've no objection. If she's in for advertising like that on the television or on the radio, she's obviously being, you know, paid for whatever she wants. You know.
But this has been talked about before. He said last year that he put a ban on the side of his van as well, and the advertising standards got in touch with him, and he hasn't done it. So, I mean, that's a moot point, you know.
Look, this girl's going out tonight to whatever with their eyelashes are longer than their skirt, and you know it.
Yeah, but they're entitled to do that. Women are entitled to wear what they want to wear.
Can I ask that lassie, is she kind of a sexist? Is she, you know...
Is she what?
Very much for women. Is she very much for women thing?
Well, everyone is, we hope.
Well, of course I'm for women. Why wouldn't I be? I am a woman.
You know, I think that's funny. Like, you know, on the side of... You're looking out today, it's lashing rain, it's this, that and the other, and you kind of go, oh, yeah, look in the sunshine. Isn't it lovely? God,
I just don't think it's necessary to have that kind of image on the side of a van promoting a product.
And what about guy that goes into the laundry on the ad and he takes off all the clothes, leaves the underpants and puts the washing in and the girls are looking, laughing?
Those kind of advertisements have been off the airwaves for the last 20 years. That ad was on the telly in the 80s and 90s, if you're talking about the Levi's ad. We've come on a long way since then.
And you remember the other ad, Martina, Hello Boys?
That's
gone,
of course.
That's gone as well, isn't it?
Anymore,
yeah, that's gone as well. Yeah, you're right.
Years ago, I promoted cars, you know, just as a sideline. And we were there and we sold whatever and whatever.
So that's
I wore
why you have this viewpoint. And that's fair enough. That's your life experience.
Really? I think that guy is very innovative. He's very, you know, there's no untoward. There's nothing like that.
Well,
he's selling the clothesline, which we all need.
He's an RCA, isn't he?
Yeah. Well, you see, but Martina, the ad on the side of the van isn't working, is it really? Because Pat's been in business for 37 years and he still only has one van.
That's true. Sure enough, his business is gone.
He still only has one van.
I've a bicycle, I've a racing bike.
You're not too serious in life.
Joe, I've a mountain bike as well.
I tell you what, it's like telling somebody a joke and they go, oh my God, and I'd say, it's your dirty mind. I'm only telling, you know. So, like, you know, you can make an issue out of something that's not even there. You know, by
but
you coming on at the
side of it all. It is there. People are complaining.
No,
this
that's generalising. People are not complaining. It's generalising.
No, there was a complaint. We got a call about it. That's how I hadn't seen it. And also, there was a complaint upheld by the Advertising Standards Authority.
Yeah, but how come it's only coming out now after all these years?
That's life.
You know yourself.
That's life.
We all advertise on the side of a thing. So I'm often driving along and get a laugh out of something.
But Martina, what about the depiction? No, sorry, I don't mean what about, but surely you must, the daily depiction of women in a lot of Irish newspapers in a similar way.
Well, I mean, we all know that a lot of the domestic labour does fall on the side of women, and that's just a fact. But I don't think he should be driving around with that on his van, advertising his van.
Especially
if the advertising standards agency has already complained.
But the Advertising Standards Authority have no control over Pat Lamb's van.
Yeah.
He had to take it off. And you did take it off your website, didn't you, Pat?
I think so. Yeah.
I think so.
Fair play to him.
Okay.
You know,
okay. We'll leave it at that. We'll close that line. Pat
By
Lamb.
I'll buy a clothesline.
It's handy. But he should be giving you one for nothing. You have to give him so much free advertising.
Don't you worry.
I know
you
will.
All right. Good man yourself.
Okay. Pat Lamb.
See you later.
Manny.
Bye.
Martina. Good to meet you, Margaret.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Dermot O'Shukru, Dermot, good afternoon. You've contacted us. I don't know whether it's actually about the report that's going to Rome from the Irish Catholic Church. They had a synodical process. Or the coverage of the report, because all the coverage so far I've heard and read has been extraordinarily positive. Patsy McGarry in the Irish Times fears Bishop would water down documents proved to be unfounded. Major milestone in the history of the Catholic Church in Ireland as overhaul urged. A Catholic's call for Rome to make radical changes, desire for change and attitude to LGBTI plus people, removal of celibacy for priests. Report part of a worldwide consultation process in the church initiated by the Pope. I heard Ursula Halligan of We Are Church on the radio this morning, and she was ecstatic in her welcoming of this report. She said the bishops have been brilliant. They took on board what people said, and that's what's going to Rome. You don't think that represents you, Dermot?
No, I believe it doesn't represent a lot of Catholics who would be like me. I would call myself hardcore conservative Catholic, lapsed Catholic. I went back to the Catholic religion later in my life, and have discovered that the truths of the Catholic Church exist from the times of the Roman times, when Jesus was around and the church moved to Rome. And that was about as decadent as you could get as a place to start a religion. But the Catholic Church stuck to its principles that everything came from Jesus. Mm-hmm. They have the traditions, they have the Bible, and they, since then they've moved on. And it's only in the last 100 years that we've had all this new stuff coming in, which the Pope in Rome in about 1900, I think it was Leo or something was his name, he warned us against modernism. So now we see this kind of modernism stuff with very high-profile people attaching their names to these things. And then when you check into their backgrounds, you find out that they're involved in organizations which I would class as, if not what I would call chinos, Catholic in name only, or part of anti-Catholic groups. That would be where I would come from. This is just another attack on the Catholic Church, and the conservative Catholics, like myself, will now stick to exactly what was written in the catechism from the history before this 1962 Vatican II, which basically allowed the smoke of Satan to enter into the Catholic Church and bring about all this ridiculous stuff. And I would do Latin Mass and all that, you know.
So
I'm just a layperson.
Vatican II. What was that phrase you used? Vatican II allowed
the smoke of Satan to enter into the Catholic Church. Oh, yeah, that's what we all, any of the conservative Catholics will tell you. Everything with the Catholic Church went downhill when we got rid of the Latin Mass and when we started all this other stuff. Now, we love people. We love all people. We love alcoholics. We love drug addicts. We love the gay people. We love everybody.
There's a problem now emerging, and I don't know if we can continue with this call, because I'll tell you why. One, because I'll get it in the neck, and the small team will for the rest of the week from people. Like you cannot in the same sentence talk about people who have an illness, a disease like alcoholism or drug addiction, which is an illness, and then include gay people, because being gay is what you are. It's not an illness or a disease. So we need just to be careful with our language. Now I'll read out more from.
Alcoholic, and I can say that it was through the Bible that Jesus came to me.
And continued success day by day. But there's no such thing as an ex-gay person. You know what I mean? You're gay. Patsy McGarry says, you're saying to us that you believe that this report that says it represents the Catholic people of Ireland doesn't represent them. So you are entitled to that point of view. And then the coverage has been uniformly positive, saying, like Patsy McGarry again, saying credit, who's a religious affairs correspondent, longstanding. I think he's the only one left in the print media. Credit, and it is an accurate word, must also go to those articulate women who've trenchantly argued a case for equality for their gender in the church down the years, as well as speaking forcefully on behalf of marginalised groups such as LGBTI+ people, women such as former President Mary McAleese, Ursula Halligan of We Are Church, and long-time advocate for women's ordination, Solene Humbert. What is your position on women being ordained?
Very simple. There's nothing to debate. Jesus chose 12 disciples, and they were men, and the church has continued that from there on. And there is, for whatever reason, Jesus Christ made the church. He designed it, and we have to follow what he told us to design it as. And any deviation from that, it's no longer the Catholic Church. That's a simple.
Okay, now I'm just saying this is this report, which the bishops say was drawn up in consultation, major consultation. I don't know, were you involved in the consultation?
Not at all. I'm just the average layperson. And were you aware? On a Sunday?
Yeah. Were you aware that there was a national synthesis document being prepared?
No, I don't follow all but these what, you, reports. Yeah, and
you
things. Don't.
But if you go to to church, which I do, on a recent occasion I was in a church, I saw it being advertised in the porch. There was a meeting. This was in Ballyferrin, but there's a meeting. I think it was the following Thursday at 7 o'clock in the church. Everyone welcome to talk about the national synthesis document, the document that would be agreed and going to Rome. People were worried when they made the input, and there was focus groups set up. Ursula Halligan, I know, was asked to set up a focus group for the LGBTI plus community, which she did. And she submitted a document, and she said the fantastic thing about this document that's now going to Rome on behalf of the Irish Church, including the hierarchy, didn't water down any of the recommendations.
Yeah, well, in my opinion, will be misled. The catechism's pretty simple, straightforward. We can't have women as priests.
What about...
On many issues.
What about celibacy, priests getting married?
Well, again, that came about, I believe, about 400 years after the church was set up. I've lived in Greece and worked in Greece, and the Catholic church there, which is a Orthodox, the priests can be married, but not their bishops. So I'm aware of these type of things, but Mary comes down at various places like Fatima and Yugoslavia and these places, or ex-Yugoslavia, whatever it is.
Medjugorje.
And she's quite adamant. She wants the priest to remain celibate. And she says her son, Jesus Christ, wants that. So we're getting enough information from good sources, in our opinion, although it's not written down like the dogma of the church. You don't have to believe anything from Medjugorje or Fatima, because it's not dogma. But we're getting enough indications from all these sources to say that that's what Jesus wants, and he designed the Catholic Church, and he's the Son of God. So, you know, that's it. We just have to toe the line if we want to remain Catholics and get through the narrow entrance into the heaven. If we try experimenting, we've run serious risks. Like I used to when I was younger, do all the experiments that you could do. I was a Chino, Catholic in name only, and I did a lot of sins, and I regret all my sins, but I can only tell you that having changed to become a Catholic and become aware of everything, this report is just another attack on the Catholic Church.
And the fact, you're on a very clear line because you're on a WhatsApp number, which is great. But Diarmaid, I presume chastity, that must stay as well. Priests must be chaste.
Yeah, but it's in the Bible. It's quite adamant. If you are heterosexual or of other sexual ideas, we cannot take part in sexual activity if we're not married in the Catholic Church. Toe the line.
What about priests who are gay?
It's no problem to be gay as a priest. It's just if you partake in sexual activity, which is either heterosexual or gay, that will be putting you on the path to perdition and to doom, you know.
And what about the fact numbers are falling in mass attendance is falling dramatically? Would you be worried about that?
Well, mass attendance... Yeah, it's an issue, but the Catholic Church has gone through its ups and its downs through time, and having people like Putin threatening to nuke America any day now would wake most people up to the fact that we're probably in the end times, and repenting would be a good idea, you know. And joining the Catholic Church, if you're a Catholic, would be the best way to get into heaven that we know.
But you believe that the church, the Catholic Church, I presume you believe from what you're saying, is the one true church, and you also believe it is worth saving.
Join groups that help.
Okay, how do you measure? Yeah. How do you measure if a church is dying?
If the church is not dying, I promise you. I'm in lots of organizations, organizations.
The majority.
And our numbers are growing.
The number of priests is not growing by any measure. The number of priests over 70 is growing by a long measure. The number of parishes now that are going to have to amalgamate There's now groups of parishes because of the shortage of priests.
Yeah, well, I lived in France for 6 years and I saw all that going on in France where they basically a lot of the parishes didn't have priests. And I told people in Ireland that this was probably going to be the same thing in Ireland. But the third world is supplying a lot of priests. There's a big upsurge in priests there. So we're quite optimistic. I mean, in my local church in Tralee, we have people from a priest from Kenya, I think. I think that's where he said he was from. And, you know, there's I've been into other churches around Ireland where we have Indians, and I follow a lot of YouTube emissions from India where it's quite inspiring to watch an Indian priest preaching the word in India, because he explains everything from the Our Father, the full meaning. Okay. So, no, we're not concerned that the Catholic Church is anyway dying.
They're talking about the collections have almost disappeared in the Dublin Diocese. You know, they need money to survive. Priests need money to eat and live and pay ESB bills. And anyway, Vince,
I'm not involved with the Dublin priests, so I don't know.
Well, it's well known. You don't have to be involved with them. You just have to read about it. Say with us, Dermot. Vincent Doyle has contacted us. Vincent is the son of a priest. Will you tell us just briefly how that came about, Vincent? Because I know you're on with us before, and your reaction to what Dermot is saying.
Hiya, Joe. Good to be with you. Thanks for having me. I suppose the fact that my dad is a priest, I found out in 95. Sorry, he died in 95. I found out aged 28 in 2011. And I found it just was partially guesswork. I found an old wallet full of poems. I saw huge similarities between the two of us. And
So what do you think of what Dermot Ashukru is saying? Is that based on the reports of what is going to Rome that represents the Catholic Church in Ireland today, it doesn't represent him?
Well, I mean, the man is very entitled to make his opinion. What's interesting about this report, and I think the Church in Ireland have done a really good job, what the report includes is the voice of the people. Church means a body of people, not just a certain select little club. So the Church would not preclude me. It would include me. And in the report, it is said quite clearly, to its credit, that one of the suggestions is that priests who have left the priesthood to marry would return. And I've actually spoke about this in a book I wrote last year. I think that should be really, really definitely welcome for two reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, the Catholic Church is in communion with the Anglicans and they had married clergy. Number two, very probati, married clergy has been discussed in Rome as we speak. And number three, the Maronites, who I've been in contact with, their Catholic priests, they even said that they would consider.
Okay, the sting of the discussion today, Vincent, is that Dermot is saying there's this synodical report going to Pope Francis, and it's saying that these are the views of the Irish Church, pro married priests, pro women priests, pro greater inclusion of LGBT plus community, and Dermot is saying this does not represent me. So how do we know who it represents? That's my point.
Well, if it doesn't represent him, fair enough. But in terms of
He said he didn't even know what was going on.
He didn't know what the synod was going on.
The process, yeah.
I think the dogs of the street knew this process was happening. It was made very, very clear inside and outside the physical church. In terms of people who identify as LGBT, or indeed priest's children, or any other person who might be considered as marginalised. From a Catholic Church perspective, from a pro-life perspective, which respects life at all stages, you can't discriminate, marginalise, or condemn somebody based on their sexuality, on their paternity. And that's not new theology, so to speak. That is basic Christian doctrine. So what the report is saying is actually theologically perfect in terms of not discriminating people. That doesn't mean you're going to agree with everything they say at all times, but it means that you're looking at this person who identifies as LGBT, for example, or a priest child, or a mother who's had a child to a priest, and you're saying from a Catholic perspective, we welcome you and we're going to engage with you because you're part of what is recognised as the body of Christ.
Dermot, again I refer to Patrick McGarry's report. The great unspoken reality among a majority of Irish Catholics for more years than they care to be reminded was that they held such strong views on the inferior position of women in the church, on its harsh language towards LGBTI plus people, its draconian stance on divorced and remarried, on single parents, on the insistence on the archaic mandatory celibacy rule, the boring sermons and liturgies, and its utter, utter disconnect with young people. Do you think that's a fair, do you think that's a fair description of the Catholic Church today in Ireland?
No,
the inferior, position of women.
My point of view,
the use of language.
I would have been one. Yeah, no, I mean, I would have been part of this group who would be marginalised. My parents were they were married the second time, so I'm the product of this type of what the Catholic Church would call sin. What I can recommend to people who think it's a good idea, I can tell you it's a bad idea. Having the religion is quite adamant that all sins will carry through to seven generations. So we will, our generation, my generation, and my other family who have kids, they will carry this generational sin as well. Now, there are ways of undoing these generational sins. It's in the Bible. Basically, you've just follow the Bible and you'll get into heaven and you follow what it says. And I didn't make a Bible. It came to me from over 2,000 years.
Am I being glib when I say an eye for an eye? Do you still hold with that? Am I being glib?
No,
I'm probably being glib. Okay.
Love everybody. That's the message of the Catholic Church Bible. We love everybody. But we don't change the church to suit other people's requirements. The church was designed by Jesus Christ, not me. I have to follow the line. There's, you know, so any of this, most everything I read in this report this morning, when I say I didn't know this particular synod thing, I knew about the Brazilian priests, and I knew about what's going on in Germany because I lived in Germany. And basically, the message coming from there is if the German priests get what they're looking for, priests and bishops, you might as well go up and have a biscuit as go and get their Holy Communion, because it won't be a communion. They'll have changed the Mass so much. You might as well go to a party and eat some biscuits.
Okay,
now, I don't know if
stay with us, Dermot. More people want to talk after this break.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
After a long process, which the Catholic Church says 13,000 people in the Dublin Diocese, which extends as far as Wexford, they participated, 5,000 in Limerick, 300 in Achonry, and this was a process to get the beliefs of lay Catholics on what should change in the church, and the bishops apparently didn't, they obviously support the document that is now going, and the document talks about greater inclusion of women in the priests, full inclusion of the LGBTQI plus community, more effort to involve young people, questioning of the whole idea of celibacy, the questioning the whole idea of married priests, and I remember there was a big meeting in Athlone about 3 months ago, and people spoke there and they said they were convinced that the bishops would water down what people were saying. Well, they haven't watered it down. That's the point. It's not been diluted. Kevin Collier. Kevin, good afternoon.
Yes, Joe. How are you doing? Good to talk to you.
And what do you think of this document?
Oh, no, I'm not in favour of it. And I suppose it would surprise you a bit if I was, but I'm not. But the big thing about I find about the Catholic Church today is that the people, the members of the Catholic Church, their big failing at the moment is that they don't actually believe truly in Jesus Christ. If they believed in him, and that's what the Catholic Church is about, and that's what Mass is
so
about.
Kevin, we're talking about this report. Sorry. When you read headlines in this report saying Catholics call for Rome to make radical changes, desire for a change in the attitude to LGBTIQ plus people and removal of celibacy for priests, what do you think of that? Does that represent what you're thinking?
That I don't think that gay people should be involved in the church. Or other people either that don't hold up to the ways of God.
Well, say there, hang on, for a second.
You do all the time. Oh, you asked a man a few minutes ago and you put in and you kept talking over him. Oh, that man that was on, that young man that's gay. Now he can't. Born in priest.
His father was a priest.
There's nothing he can do about that. But he shouldn't be going around knocking everything because of it. But he has to make out the best he can now. If he's, regardless of what he does, the biggest thing he can be doing now is to be a true believer in Jesus Christ and to follow him. So there's no point in mass, there's no point in anything if you don't truly believe in Jesus Christ. And this is what's happening to the people, that they've gone off, if you, people just coming out of mass and all that, and they wouldn't talk to you. And you have other things going on. If you went to talk to them about Jesus Christ, they don't want to know anything but. And what would they have mass for? That's the celebration of Jesus Christ. That's what that's about. If they were truly into Jesus Christ and what he wants us to do, the Catholic Church is based on that. And if they were into that, there's no way they'd want changes or they'd want things to be happening so much different. And women have plenty of, I don't over it, but I'll say it anyway. Women have plenty of places in the church if they want it. But there's another thing just to drop in here. Women don't want just to have a part or a role in the church. Women want now, they want to be on the altar preaching. Yeah. There's where the women want to be. And just to say this a little bit,
that woman you had on
a few minutes ago there over the advertising, you can imagine that woman and she taking the Lord's name in vain and everything, wouldn't cost her at all. You can imagine
What's wrong with women being on the altar?
Because Jesus Christ didn't want women to be on the altar saying mass, or he would have picked women to do that. But he wasn't short of women at the time, Joe. There was thousands of women around the same as men at the time.
Rosemary is listening as well. You're listening to Kevin and to Dermot. Go ahead, Rosemary.
Hi, Joe, and thank you for talking to me. I didn't hear all of what the last man had said, so can I just make a few points about the Catholic Church that I believe in? First of all, I don't believe that the Catholic Church has been run the way Jesus would have liked it, okay? I agree that Jesus is the person we should be thinking of. There is no way he would have accepted the way the Catholic Church treats people who don't follow what we would call normal. And I don't actually believe in the word normal, but I hope you get my point. I think he would hate the way we exclude people. I am absolutely furious to think that in this 2022, that we cannot grow times, be inclusive. How dare a person tell another person how you should live your life? If you look back on the Bible, you will see a Jesus who was inclusive. What was the great message that he told the people who wanted to stone the woman? You who are without sin, throw the first stone. All walked away. And on the subject of women, he went to a wedding with his mother. His mother said to him, "Do you know what, guys? There's no wine here. Your friends are going to be embarrassed." What did he do? He said to his mother, "Well, listen, do you know what? It's not my time to be performing miracles." And she said, "Do what I asked you to do." What did he do? He changed the water into wine. He wanted people to enjoy their lives, be inclusive, be understanding of other people. And I think fundamentally the church has lost the bloody plot. And of course he would love women to be there. The women in his life were so special to him. He was of a time when women weren't treated very well either. But what did he do? He was really, really loved those women that he was with. And, so I'm sorry for going on and on about it.
But what the sting of today's debate is this report. Do you, Kevin and Dermot, don't believe this report represents them? And they believe...
Well, they're tough. If they're the type of people who are going to judge others, do they actually belong in the Catholic Church? You know, why
Kevin?
Is the Catholic Church taking on the human... You know, I'm sorry, I'm not being very articulate, but it just makes me mad. How dare we judge others? How dare we?
Kevin?
You see, that lady is talking there about Jesus Christ and all the things he'd done. Yeah, he walked the mirror, he gave the wine. That was grand. The same way, it's all right to drink, so long as you don't get drunk. Oh, and what he said to people, he didn't tell people, no matter what she says, he didn't tell people to go out and do whatever you like. He didn't tell women to go around in skinny dresses and all this thing, a disgrace to mankind, like the way to carry on. And if men was to do that, women would be going bloody mad, so they would. It's all right for them to do it, show off their bodies. Sin, that's more sinfulness as far as God would be concerned, and Jesus Christ.
Joe, can I answer that, man?
Yes, Rose.
Are you the type of person where if a woman gets raped because and she's wearing shorts, that she has a sign on the back of her head saying, rape me?
God,
Kevin, I'm not going to break.
Talk
to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
We're debating the document that's gone to Rome on behalf of Irish Catholics. And it began with a phone call from Dermot Shukru, who's still there. And Dermot is saying that it doesn't represent him. I'll bring you back in a sec, Dermot. Apologies. Seamus Hutton from Donegal. Your point, please, Seamus.
Nate, how you doing? And
good.
Thanks very much for hearing me and to all your listeners. There was a pope in 1815. Right. 815.
Oh God!
And she was a woman pope. Yeah. She was Pope Noel. Yeah. Did you know that there?
So even if I didn't know, how would it benefit me in my day-to-day?
But I'm just saying that there was a woman who was a pope.
What do you think of this document that's gone to Rome on behalf of Irish Catholics?
I haven't
actually seen
it yet. I have to check it up.
Well, then we leave it at that. So, Nicholas Flood, Rosemary, Etna Malloy, or is it Etna?
It's Malloy, Joe.
Malloy, okay. Your point, please. Did you go to the synod meetings?
I did. I would have attended some of them online, Joe. And I mean, I found it a very open, honest, and transparent process.
Okay, tell us about the process, Etna.
Oh well, the meetings I attended, we were kind of explained the process and the synod and what it was all about, and then we were broken into smaller focus groups and given. Okay. An open forum, really, to discuss whatever we felt we needed. And at every step during the way, I was kind of highlighted that this is our voice, this is our opinion, and this is our chance to speak up. And I found it a really enlightening experience. There was representation from anyone who really wanted to be represented.
How did you find out about the meetings?
Well, I know our diocese had it on their bulletins on the website. Yeah. Anyone who attended Mass in my local parish would have been well aware of it.
Anyone could go. And did you have to say who you were when you spoke? Or?
Well, when it was online, your name was obviously up and there was a smaller introduction as well.
It'd be like the Citizens' Assembly, and that's except it was self-selecting, but that something there would be a contribution from, I don't know, a priest or a nun or...
Everyone. There was representation from all.
And then you would break up into smaller groups.
Yes, and discuss and then feed back our opinions into a larger forum.
I know in our
church there were surveys at the back for people to fill out as well if they wanted to participate.
So would it be fair to say that this report that's gone to Rome, I presume you've read about it, given you're involved in it, and it's been in all the news bulletins and the speech programmes this morning, and it's been widely welcomed by anyone that was involved as saying it's a true reflection of what people were saying. But this report basically is an opinion poll, a representation of what the lay people who went to those meetings, what they thought. Do you think it's a fair reflection?
I think so. I think it's a good snapshot of the general opinion. I mean, obviously, it's never going to reflect the opinion of every single person in the room. But it is a good snapshot of, I think it's more the feeling of society and how the church can move forward.
Okay. And Dermot, you don't think it is a snapshot?
I'm not saying it's not a snapshot. What I'm saying is the church works from the top down. That's the way Jesus designed it. We lay people at the bottom. We don't have any impact on the direction other than stick to what Jesus told us to do. And he's the Son of God. He's the way, the truth, the life, and that's it.
Okay.
And anything else, opinions don't count.
Okay, Dermot mentioned, you mentioned in Tralee, Finbar Walsh is in Tralee, and Finbar, you went to some of the meetings, did you?
I did, yeah, I attended them. They were notified through the church and the churches, and they were open meetings, public open meetings.
And the document, as you've read it, or as you've read about it, does it reflect what was said at those meetings?
I think it reflects what came out of those meetings about inclusiveness in particular. It may not have been the direction that the meetings were intended to go, but they went there.
And do you agree?
I'm in agreement with the document going forward as it is, on the grounds that that's where the discussion went. It mightn't have been where they wanted the discussion to go.
Who's they? Who's they?
As in the authorities within that were
okay.
Holding the meeting.
But is it where you wanted it to go?
I'm not going to answer that question with regard to whether it's my opinion or not.
But you're happy for the document as is to go?
As is. I would say that it was a consensus of the meeting.
Oh, okay.
That
that's
I
very fair, yeah.
That there was a lot of things that happened. I may or may not agree with them personally, but an awful lot of questions were asked and an awful lot of opinions were given that may not have been in particularly to the choice of the hierarchy of the church, but it may be informative to the church that, people of the church can speak too, you know.
But it's not fair to say that this document will be presented to Pope Francis as the view of the hierarchy in Ireland.
No.
It's the view of the lady.
It's the view of the people.
Yeah. Well, the people that attended those meetings.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Say with us, Finbar. Liz Nolan, Liz, your point, please.
Oh, Joe, I'm fuming.
Okay.
I'm absolutely fuming.
Well, go ahead.
Welcome to Ireland, 1960. We haven't moved. It's not 2022 anymore. They're quite happy for women to give out communion in the churches.
Yeah.
They're quite happy for them to put out the flowers, but they're not allowed to serve Mass. Now, what's wrong with that?
But this document, we're talking about this document. This document seems to go a lot further than that now.
Yes, it certainly does.
So would you
is it going to be watered down by the time it gets to Rome?
Well, it wasn't watered down by the hierarchy here, which came as a relief, it seems, to an awful lot of people who were involved.
They're
ecstatic.
You know,
ecstatic.
We're only hearing what was said. We're not hearing
what's
going to be presented.
I told you earlier, I heard Ursula Halligan, who's involved, has been for a long time, in an organisation called We Are Church, and they contributed, and she was, I heard her interviewed on radio, she was over the moon with the report.
When the report gets to Rome, is it going to be the same report that we've heard of? I mean, where were all these people, Joe, when the church scandals came out?
I think they
one of them ever came on the radio.
Oh, no, that's not true. That's who are you talking about? Ursula Halligan, you must be joking. Mary McAleese, you must be joking. They were everywhere.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. I mean, we're one of the most progressive countries with two women presidents, where some countries have never had one. And now we're going back. When you hear these people saying, Christ's teaching says this, that there's men.
Picked 12
male apostles.
Well, that did happen, in fairness to people who you don't agree with. But that did happen.
Oh, no, it did happen. But that was then. When are we going to start looking at now?
Yeah.
That's the bit I can't understand. I mean, we had 700 babies buried in a sewer.
Yeah, okay.
And that was the church. Where does it say in the Bible, by Christ, that we should bury children in
I know, sewers? Well, you know it doesn't say that. You know it doesn't
say exactly.
That.
Yeah, exactly. Liz, are you...
So you're saying people shouldn't have bothered getting involved in this. It's not,
well, I don't see the point.
That's your point, that people shouldn't bother.
It'll go to
that
Rome.
The church is beyond saving.
No, as well beyond saving at this stage. I mean, it'll go to Rome, it'll be watered down, and Francis will make some amazing remarks. Oh, I do think women should do this, but nothing's going to change. Nothing's ever going to change. They're quite happy, as I say, to have women going around doing their little bit for the church, the little women. But they're never going to let them do mass.
Okay, so Dermot, stay there, Liz, please. Well, Liz and Owen are saying, Dermot, you shouldn't be worried about this. You object to it because I'm using common. I'm not trying to be weighted. You object to it because of the what would be described as the progressive modernising nature of it. But Liz is saying there's no worry. Don't be worried about it. Don't be threatened because it won't nothing come of it anyway because the church is irrelevant. Dermot.
Yeah, what it is, the idea is out there that the Catholic Church is in crisis and the money is not coming in and all that. But the Bible has told us towards the end times that the church would shrink and it would be only the hardcore who follow exactly what the Bible and Jesus said to do and the Catholic Church will succeed. And we're not worried about, there will be the great falling off is the expression in the Bible. And we know this will happen and the numbers will reduce, but that's not a crisis because we in the hardcore Catholic Church, a lot of us who do the Latin Mass and, you know, go to these Latin Masses, even though some of the bishops abandon them, and we're not worried. We just say that's the way that Jesus designed the church and we have no opinion on the subject of changing it to be married, a woman priest or married priests or...
And Liz,
you know, dissolving marriage, okay.
So Liz, you're saying to Dermot, don't be upsetting yourself. It'll make no difference.
No, but he's a zealot, and zealots will always think that they're right. I'd like to ask Dermot, long before this poll was ever taken and went to Rome, why has the numbers reduced in the churches?
Well, it depends on whose numbers you're looking at.
Why have people stopped going to mass?
There are many reasons I stopped going to Mass. I was a lapsed Catholic and I did anything I wanted and, you know, went with the crowd and, you know, took the wide road to the highway to hell. But Jesus pulled me out of it and then I saw the light and I read the Bible and I stopped being an alcoholic and then I started studying the Catholic Church and I now see it's perfectly exactly what Jesus designed. And my opinion on whether on married people or, you know, in the dissolving of marriages and all this stuff, it's not relevant. It comes from the top down. Jesus, the Pope, the cardinals, down to the priests.
Okay.
And my opinion doesn't count. And that this no, there's nothing I can do about it. I didn't decide that all the priests should be male. Jesus decided when he was down here with the disciples. And he didn't say, oh, by the way, in the year 2022, all the priests can get married. So there's nothing in the Bible saying
What difference would it make to him if a priest who wanted to get married to a man or a woman got married? What difference would it make?
It's not an issue for me because I'm not a priest and I'm not married either. But
would you go to a mass celebrated by a married priest?
I probably have been to. I think when I was down in South Africa for a while, half the priests were married, but
they were in the Anglican Church.
No, this was what they call the New Catholic Church down in South Africa. It's basically, once you get out of Rome, it starts to get a bit higgly-piggly. I mean, South American priests are married.
Joe, if I could, Joe.
Yeah, I'll bring it. I need to take a break back after this.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
In the 2016 census, just short of 80% of the Irish people declared themselves to be Roman Catholic. Carol Bourne from Wicklow. Carol, what do you think of this report as represented that's going to Rome representing the views of the Irish laity?
Hello, Joe. It wouldn't concern me in the least, because that's the way they'll go with the flow. And we know by our recent legislation of all that's brought in now, we know that they're only Catholic by name, really, most of them. I want to just... I'm delighted with the speakers today, and they speak the truth. And I just want to add to that that at the part of the Mass where the priest says, through him, with him, and in him, he's holding up the host, he's standing in Christ's place. So how could a woman stand in Christ's place at that part of the Mass?
But he's representational.
Yes. I don't see these ladies at adoration where I go in different churches. I don't see them flooding into the churches to honour Jesus. So is it for their own glory they're looking to be priests? It's amazing. Where are they?
Well, why do men want... Well, not many now, but why do men want to be priests?
It's traditional. Here.
It's for their own glory.
It's a tradition, for goodness sake. And, that's my thoughts on it.
And are you... Can I ask you, Carolyn? Start, check me if you wish. Are you a Mass goer?
I am.
Did you know about this synodical process?
I did.
Did you participate?
No, I didn't bother going.
Why?
Because we knew very well what the outcome would be. Because 60% of the Irish people voted what shouldn't have been voted in our religion, really. But 60%, so we know the kind of Catholics that are out there. And we're not worried. There'll be little small cells that will continue on and continue on, as your speakers have said. We're not worried about numbers.
You know, and the church gets smaller. The church as represented in Mass or whatever and clerics get smaller and smaller.
That's right. We're not worried about that. It's all in God's hands. We'll have priests, never mind. We'll have places to go for Mass.
But you won't have priests at this rate.
We will, as the other speaker said. They come from Africa, India. We've already had Indian priests in our parish in Rathdrum.
Okay.
And then they come for 3 years.
Okay.
No, we're not. It's not for us to be concerned about.
Okay.
Thanks. Could I just say there's plenty of other religions, man-made. If those ladies would like to join them, if they don't like the church, why stay?
Okay. Stay. Thank you for all your points and to every single contributor. Back tomorrow, 1:45. Mark McGrath sound. Shane Phelan was the BCO. Niamh Hamill produced. And Catherine Thomas is next.
0818 715 815 stays open until 3:15 p.m. or email joe@rte.ie.